Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth are with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's been an interesting week already in the NFL, and the offseason going to be, I think, very interesting as we move forward here. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome Sheil Kapadia to the show from The Athletic. Sheil, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Doing well over here.
Glad you're doing well. Thanks for taking time to join us, Sheil. And let's start with Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What was your reaction to just how dominant Tampa Bay's defense was in that game against Kansas City? And now, of course, Brady sits here with seven Super Bowl titles, winning this one at the age of 43. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I thought they certainly had a chance to win. The line and everything, the spread in Vegas would have indicated that before the game, but I was surprised just how dominant that defense was. I mean, we all know that the Chiefs had offensive line issues, but I just looked at it and thought, you know, the Chiefs know that that's going to be a weakness for them. They're going to game plan around it, and Patrick Mahomes is so good. We've seen him compensate for other issues in the past, and it just didn't happen. They just were not able to protect him enough. They were not able to make enough plays when they had opportunities with their receivers, and the Bucs deserve all the credit. Todd Bowles had a great game plan, and they deserve to win. That was not a game where you looked at it and thought the wrong team won. I mean, the Bucs dominated from the start to the finish, and so they're Super Bowl champs.
So, Sheil, you are churning out a lot of stuff for us, as always. But this week is a couple of really interesting pieces. One, your top 50 free agents, and there's some movement on that list from your last one. And I wanted to just, I guess in general, anyone really move up or down in your mind, you know, from last time? Like any different thought? And in particular, of course, the Titans have some guys who, and we've talked about this, are of high interest, possibly to other teams, in Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, you know, I think a couple guys, I think on the Bucs, if you look at it, sometimes guys who are strong on those playoff runs, they really, make more of a name for themselves. So one guy I would look at would be Shaq Barrett, the Bucs' edge rusher there. Now, I already think he was going to have a nice market. I mean, the guy had 19.5 sacks in 2019. His numbers weren't as good in 2020, but if you look at what he did both in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl, I mean, he was a dominant player, and so they used the franchise tag on him last offseason, and now they have to make a decision. Are they going to be able to re-sign him to a long-term extension? Are they going to use the franchise tag on him a second time, or are they going to let him test the market? Because I know the Bucs want to run it back, but they've got some key free agents between him, Chris Godwin, the wide receiver, and the linebacker, Lavonte David. I mean, those are three core pieces of that Super Bowl-winning team. So they've got some offseason decisions to make. And then it's going to be interesting with those Tennessee Titans that you just mentioned. You know, I think certainly a player like Corey Davis, I would think on the open market, he's really going to get some nice offers where teams will view him and say, you know what, he's still so young. He was very productive last year. He might not be in that top tier with guys like Godwin and Allen Robinson, but, you know, a couple of those guys could get the franchise tag. So I think there's going to be a big market for Corey Davis. And Jonnu Smith, I think if you're another team and you're more of a pass-heavy team than the Titans have been, you look at that and say, you know what, the numbers don't tell the full story with Jonnu Smith. Look at the film. Look at the overall talent. If we get him in a system where he's going to be seeing a lot more targets and a lot more opportunities to make plays with the ball in his hand, then he can be a really good player. So I would expect both those guys to be among the, I can't remember exactly where I had them, but among the top 20, top 30 free agents available.
And then, of course, you always do the power rankings, and you've got your team's best position now, you know, to win the next Super Bowl. First of all, I very much appreciate the Lions at 32 and the the line on Danable the Cannibal leading the league in KD. That's kneecaps devoured, so I got to give you a shout-out for that. But a couple interesting teams. One, you've got the Titans at 16, so maybe seeing some regression. And then, of course, you've got the Chargers up at 9, which I get. I mean, I think they're a really talented team. But how about those two in particular, your analysis of those two?
Yeah, I'm afraid about how many kneecap jokes I'm going to be making this offseason. I don't know if there's a limit or a quota or what, but man, I don't think I'm going to be able to get over.
Let them rip.
Campbell press conference. That was just classic. So the teams you mentioned there, yeah, the Titans, you know, are a tough team for me to kind of gauge right now. I feel like I could feel differently about them one way or another come August, come September, but I do think they face some challenges. Of course, they lose Arthur Smith, and I do think he had a lot to do with their offensive success. We could all see the way he maximized the talent they had on that side of the ball, how he schemed up big plays and really gave them an identity. Now, maybe that's already in place, and they're going to be able to carry it over, but I do think that's a question mark that remains to be seen. We talked about they could lose a couple key free agents on the offensive side of the ball, and we all know that was one of the worst defenses in the NFL last season. So I do think they have some questions. I think they've got some talent, and we'll see what they do, but I've got them kind of in that middle tier. And then, you know, I looked at it, and I didn't want to just list the teams in kind of the order they finished last season, so I wanted to look at who's already made some changes and who could make some more changes in the weeks and months ahead. And the Chargers are a team I kind of picked, and I think they could really be a surprise team in 2021. I loved what I saw from Justin Herbert as a rookie, and I loved what I saw from Brandon Staley in that Rams defense. He comes over and is the head coach, and I thought Anthony Lynn, you know, I know he's got positive qualities, but I thought he was one of the worst in-game managers of any head coach in the NFL last season. I mean, you just looked at it week after week, they were screwing things up, whether it was clock management, timeout, in-game decision-making. And so I think they're a team that can really see an upgrade in 2021 and certainly be a playoff team.
Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Sheil, I want to ask you about a guy that you're very familiar with, and that is Carson Wentz. What do you think his future looks like? What do you think he has left in the tank as maybe he moves on from Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think it is likely. I think it's almost a given at this point that he's going to be traded, and it's just a matter of when and to what team. You know, if you're a team that wants to trade for Carson Wentz, I think you look at it and you say, you know what, 2020 was an outlier. Sure, he was terrible that season, but he had 13 different offensive line combinations. The coaching was not good. They fired their coach. It was just a season that you chalk up to kind of everything going wrong. And then you look back to the previous two seasons and you say he wasn't great, but, you know, he was, I think, if you look at most statistical metrics there, he was around the 11th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL. So I think you can talk yourself into that being the guy that you're going to get. And then, of course, we know 2017, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, warranting MVP consideration before he got injured. And so he's only 28 years old, and you say, you know what, we can definitely get him back to that 2018-2019 form, and maybe there is a ceiling where he becomes one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL in a given season. If we get him out of that system, if we give him better coaching, a better supporting cast, maybe we can get him back to that level. And so you look at his salary, you know, he's got about 2 years, $47 million left, and people look at those numbers and they say, that's crazy. What are you talking about? Why would you pay a quarterback that kind of money? It's the going rate for a starting quarterback in the NFL. I mean, look at what Teddy Bridgewater got last year as a free agent. It's not that much different than what you would be paying Carson Wentz. So I actually think if you're a team that believes Wentz can be a top 15 quarterback, the contract is very reasonable and actually below market value.
Now, you mentioned the coaching there, Sheil. What happened to Doug Peterson? And I still think that's like the best coach game I've ever seen. It was that Super Bowl win over the Patriots. Is it a matter of maybe this is an instance of a coach when you lose so many good staff members at some point, it ends up being hard to overcome, or what's the deal with him?
Yeah, it's really the most underrated part, I think, about being a head coach is so much of it is just how can you build a staff? Do you have an eye on the up-and-coming young coaches in the NFL or even in college or, you know, wherever you want to get them from? Do you have an eye for talent there? Because it happens, you know, where we just talked about it with Arthur Smith and the Titans. I mean, it happens every year that you could have a very good team. You could have one of the best teams in the NFL. Well, guess what? Your best assistants are going to get plucked, and they're going to get opportunities elsewhere. And you need to plan ahead. You need to have a list. You need to have a pipeline where you say, you know what? If we lose Coach X, we've got this guy who can come in and fill in right away, and we're not going to miss a beat. And I think he had a really hard time doing that. Now, it wasn't all on him. I think certainly part of it was on him, but he also got pushed from the general manager from the owner to make some coaching changes last season that he did not want to make, and it resulted in kind of this hodgepodge of guys who didn't really work well together, and they didn't have an identity on offense. So I think that was the main thing. You know, I think he still had the players had his back to the end. I think they played hard. I think the culture was strong. But I think in the end, the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, was saying, how can we build this offense back up after it was one of the worst in the NFL last season? And he thought Doug Peterson was not the man to do that.
Sheil, we saw some pretty candid comments from Russell Wilson earlier this week talking about, you know, getting tired of being hit too much and that he's not sure if he's available in a trade. Like, what do you think the relationship is right now between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks? And if you're the Seahawks, how concerned should you be about those comments?
Yeah, it's sort of wild. I covered the Seahawks for 2 years in Seattle for ESPN, and man, there is always some type of drama going on there in February and March, regardless of what's happening in the offseason. And so, you know, I thought it was a little bit strange, to be quite honest, because if you look at a lot of the numbers, you know, this was not like one of the worst offensive lines he's played for. I mean, when I was covering them in 2015, 2016, the offensive line was absolutely worse than it is right now or than it was this past season. So, you know, I don't know why he made those comments. I don't know if he's sending a message to the organization that let's load up on offensive linemen. Really, if you look at it, you know, I know a lot of people think the Seahawks ignore the offensive line. It's not true. They've invested a lot of resources into the offensive line. They just haven't worked out. And so it's not like it's something they've ignored. Just kind of the moves they've made haven't always worked out. And so I don't know if that's Russell Wilson sending a message. You know, last offseason he did kind of do a similar thing where he said, you know, we need to let me throw the ball a little bit more and be more aggressive. And they did do that in the first half of this season. So it's just strange. He's been there for so long. I don't know if it's calculated or if it's something he just said, but I think if you're the organization, you look at it and are like, wait a minute, we traded for a left tackle in Duane Brown. We've used first round picks on offensive linemen. And, you know, Russell Wilson was not at his best in the second half of this season. So it could just be, you know, something that grabs the headlines for a few days and nothing comes of it. But, you know, certainly something I'm keeping my eye on a little bit as we enter what could be just a wild offseason around the league.
Very wild. So I've got to get your prediction on this, Sheil. Deshaun Watson is playing for fill in the blank in 2021.
I'm glad you asked, because I've got a column on The Athletic coming out tomorrow with my bold prediction. So
nice.
A sneak peek with the big one. And I've got him going to the 49ers. You know, I think this is going to be, and again, I think the most likely scenario is that they're going to do everything in their power to keep him. They're going to try to love him up and say, we made some mistakes. Let's move forward together. We don't want to trade you. But there's going to come a point where they just have to realize, is he going to be in, or is he really going to push this thing and be willing to sit out games here in the regular season? And if you're the organization and you say, we've screwed this up and we know that there's a lot of things going on there in Houston, and you say, you know what, I don't think the situation is tenable anymore, then you just do what the Lions did with Matthew Stafford and you say, this guy's available, come in with all of your best offers. And I think you really could get a godfather offer from a team like the Miami Dolphins, like the Carolina Panthers. Now, I chose the 49ers because if you look at it, the one team I look at and say, man, if they just have Deshaun Watson and the play caller, the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, I think you can figure everything else out for the next 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and you're going to be competing for a Super Bowl every year. So that might mean 3 first-round picks and Nick Bosa. It might mean, you know, 2 first-round picks and 3. I don't know. It could be one of the wildest offers we've seen. But if I'm San Francisco, I say we can't go into this 2021 with Jimmy Garoppolo and not being sure if he's going to stay healthy and not having a backup plan. Let's fix that. Let's get Watson and Shanahan in place, be the NFC's version of the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll figure everything else out from there.
Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Sheil, appreciate you so much for taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Take care.
Absolutely. You as well. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Sheil had to say there. What do we think about this Russell Wilson noise in Seattle as well? All that coming up here on Robbie and Rex Road. And also, make sure you're tuning in for your cue to call this hour. We've got a pair of tickets to give away for the Predators and the Red Wings game on Saturday night. Make sure you're tuning in all hour long for that. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's Love Week here on 102.5 The Game, and we would like to hear your story today on when did you know your significant other was the one? That is today's question. You can text it into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and tell us your story now for your chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. We'll give that away a little bit later in the show. Today's question, when did you know your significant other was the one? Looking forward to seeing those responses on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks to Sheil Kapadia from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. Joe, what did you think about what I brought up there with Russell Wilson? Apparently frustrated with the Seahawks, went on the Dan Patrick show earlier this week and said that he's frustrated by getting hit too much and that he's not sure if he's available in a trade or not. What do you think of those comments from Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, I look at this sort of like the Aaron Rodgers thing. I think it's sort of an airing of grievances. It's like Festivus, but
for the rest of us,
that's right. The airing of grievances, very, very important part of Festivus, but not something that's going to ultimately lead to movement. So, and it's interesting, honestly. I had the same sort of perception of the situation as I think a lot of people that Sheil kind of cleared up for us. He made good points there. I mean, they've tried to invest. They're not. It's not like your beloved Packers and Aaron Rodgers where they're just like, yeah, you'll just throw to whoever you throw to.
Just go do everything.
And you'll like it. Seahawks have tried to protect him. They haven't made good choices. If you're Russell Wilson, you still can't – like, it's okay to not be happy about bad choices because you're ultimately still having to run for your life. But it's not the exact same thing as the Packers situation.
It is not, and I don't think anything is going to come from it. But it is like it's interesting to see quarterbacks continuing to like voice their displeasure with things going on right now. Like obviously Deshaun Watson is the extreme example, but I mean Aaron Rodgers has talked publicly about some of the displeasures that he's had. Russell Wilson here as well. I mean that seems to be more and more of a thing in the NFL. And again, nothing's going to come from this, I don't think, from Seattle. And apparently they're also frustrated with Wilson that he took this to the media, which, grow up, it happens sometimes. But it is interesting how this is becoming more of a thing with quarterbacks. Of they're much more willing, apparently, these days to, if they're frustrated, take things to the media.
And then there's geniuses like the former quarterback of your favorite team out there. I mean, seriously, I already couldn't stand Brett Favre. But, like, he's actually saying, you make so much money, you should just shut up. And then that dude held how many people hostage for his little movement?
Well, it wasn't even just, like, the retirement stuff with Brett Favre. Like, he was very publicly, like, why don't you go get me a receiver? Like, this receiver thing has not been just an Aaron Rodgers thing. That was a Packers thing, too. He's critical of the defense in the media on the offseason. So, like this idea that you get paid a lot of money and you should just go out and play and not have your opinions, that's great, like in theory, I guess, but Brett Favre did not follow that advice in his playing days whatsoever.
Complete hypocrite. I mean, maybe he's been doing some boat drinking too.
You know? Could have. Yeah. Speaking of boat drinking, our boy Brady yesterday, your greatest quarterback of all time, he had a little fun at that Super Bowl parade yesterday on the water in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I'm rethinking the GOAT thing now.
Really?
Especially I had to endure like Justin Beasley getting after me on Twitter about it. Like apparently Tom Brady's never thrown an incompletion in his life. The Brady stands out there. Amazing. I don't know, man. I want to know total intake. And if it's what I suspect it is,
which is like three drinks,
which is again, yeah, like two wine coolers after his lunch of light salad with yogurt and raisins on it. I don't think he can be the GOAT anymore. Eat a sandwich.
Apparently had some avocado tequila yesterday, Tom Brady.
So someone texted in, interesting point. Did he misspell agave?
Yeah, Jack from Dixon texted in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do you think Brady misspelled agave for avocado?
Maybe. He misspelled it so poorly that he actually spelled correctly a hard word to spell.
A harder word to spell, yeah, maybe so.
See, that's another thing with Brady. I don't buy the tweet, man. I don't buy it.
You don't think that he was just sloshed?
I think he was just having fun. And let me do a little tweet that is like sounds like a drunk guy.
Oh,
I don't buy it.
He looked like he was a little wobbly out there.
Yeah.
I don't know how he would have fared in the pocket yesterday.
I think he was legit wobbly, yeah. But he did. That was a good throw.
I just want to know who the guy was escorting Tom Brady. But whenever they got back to dry land, who was the guy like literally hugging him walking down the street? I guess he was a security guard. But I had similar thoughts. Like when I first saw the video yesterday, I was like, is that Gronk? And I was like, no way. That guy's not big enough to be Gronk. Yeah. Who is that guy? But he had a serious look on his face.
Yeah.
Well, you're Brady, in charge of protecting Tom Brady.
I'm sure he's got like a security team, like 14 people, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
I mean, I know some of them have to make his smoothies for him. But Tom, just have a few, have a few Milwaukee's bests and live a little.
That would throw his diet completely off. Can't do that. Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Of these four quarterbacks, who would you like to party with the most after a Super Bowl victory? Joe Namath, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, or Tom Brady? Right now, Joe Namath leading the way with 40% of the vote. 26% say Peyton Manning, 18% Brady, 16% Mahomes.
Mahomes got after it last year too, actually. And I don't remember, was it Post Malone? He was at some concert. You remember this?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was getting after it. Then he went on stage and everything. So, yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, this poll question and the way it's phrased, it's after the Super Bowl. So go back to 1970.
Sure.
Going around Manhattan with Broadway Joe. Yeah.
Sounds pretty fun.
Because at first I think I said I would have picked Manning here. I would say like of those current guys, in modern times, I think he'd easily be the most fun.
Peyton Stan.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But, you disagree with me?
I think hanging out with Peyton Manning after winning a Super Bowl would be awesome.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to crack some, I don't even know what beer he endorses, whatever it is. Remember, like,
it was Budweiser, wasn't it? Yeah.
Like, he would just be like, yeah, I just cracked a, here you go.
Well, after he won the Super Bowl, he's like, I'm going to go home and open a couple of Budweisers, and I'll make a decision about my future later.
I thought it was Miller Lite, but regardless, no. And he, like, actually cracks up. That's like Saban with his Coke bottle.
You're not going to find Peyton Manning drinking some avocado tequila, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that right there is a higher level of respect. But, yeah, after winning that Super Bowl – in New York, 1970, it's just like I would have picked going back to the Raiders sideline in 77 in Pasadena,
Yeah.
If you can party in the 70s, choose to party in the 70s.
I wonder how often Brady does this. Like, how long does Brady's post-Super Bowl celebration last? Over or under 18 hours before he's back on the diet.
Yeah, he's doing crunches right now.
In for a nice workout this morning at 5:20.
Yeah. An egg white.
Don't you have to have, like... Obviously, he's been incredibly disciplined. Don't you have to have a little fun every now and then? Otherwise, you just go crazy. Like, I don't know how these people stick with these diets as long as they do.
Well, LeBron reacted to Brady's thing. He said, like, I wish we had a parade, and I would have been stumbling just like that, too. I mean, yeah, look.
Probably would have taken a few more drinks for LeBron to get that way.
Yeah.
6'8".
Yes. Yeah, 6'8", 270. Yeah. But, like, the ultimate is Ovechkin. He set a totally new standard. And, again, now, did he actually set the standard? He set the standard because now everyone has a camera. So we got to see every drink he took and every, like, public display of just completely out of handness that he could do. I'm sure back in the day you would have seen some. Well, I know of some Red Wings celebrations in greater Detroit with the cup. In fact, my sister-in-law was on hand. I think she actually drank out of the thing.
Wow.
Yeah, after one of those.
That's a heck of a story.
That is pretty good, yeah. So that's when I knew my wife was the one, when her sister drank out of the Stanley Cup.
Drank out of the Stanley Cup in Detroit.
But, Ovechkin is the new standard for. I mean, he's the ultimate celebration of a championship.
When we come back, Todd McShay has released his first mock draft looking ahead to the upcoming NFL draft. We'll react to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer. And who doesn't love free beer? Even Tom Brady would love some free beer. Tune in all day tomorrow for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Do we think Tom Brady would like this gift card?
I hope so. You know, step up from the
avocado tequila,
from the wine coolers, the the seltzers. That's
oh, the seltzers,
that's a big thing now. Yeah, how many of those seltzers did you have, Tom?
Two.
Try some beer. Try some beer.
Do we think that Tom Brady's ever had a honey bun?
Ever? Yeah. I think ever. I mean, look at the NFL Combine pictures.
Do you think that's why he's as ridiculous as he is now? Because he looks back at that Combine picture and is just disgusted.
I mean, again, it's not like he was like, but he certainly wasn't like ripped up or anything. So, I don't know, maybe.
He looked like a dude you'd find at the Michigan frat house, though. And now, he looks incredible. He's 43.
Right, he's gotten younger.
I don't know why I picked Honey Bun. I just had a Honey Bun last night. It was amazing. Poor found it very funny. Look at him. He's in there.
Cosmic brownies.
Yeah.
How about Girl Scout cookies?
Oh, man.
By the way, so I bring in some Girl Scout cookies, really just to get them away from me,
because
we have too many at my house. And Porth had never tried a Samoa.
It was all right.
Never tried a Samoa,
yeah.
And it was all right.
B-minus, I think you said.
B-minus, yeah, it was all right.
Man,
it's pretty good.
I would so much rather have Thin Mints, Do-Si-Dos, Tagalongs.
I do like the Thin Mints. The Thin Mints are my favorite.
Especially when you put Thin Mints in the freezer.
Yeah.
And then bring them out
I found some Thin Mints flavored ice cream one time. I got to tell you. That was something.
That sounds good. I mean, I've had a complete public battle with Brad Schmidt of the Tennessean when I was there over Thin Mints and the Samoa. And I wrote the column for the Samoa. And the Thin Mint is the most popular. There's no doubt. And I love the Thin Mint. But I think the Samoa is the greatest cookie on the planet.
Samoa is very good.
It's not a B-.
It's better than a B-, that's for sure.
What would you give it?
I'd give it about a B+, A-, around there.
Okay. I can live
Thin
with
Mint's that. Thin
Mint's A+. Yeah, I actually like Tagalongs better than Thin
Mint's.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big peanut butter chocolate.
Well, I know this. My wife was very appreciative that you brought those yesterday. Also, was very unappreciative that now she has to eat them because she's trying to go on a diet, and that's not going well.
Yeah, sorry.
She ate an entire box of Samoa last week.
Hey,
entire box.
I mean, believe me.
It was awesome.
It's like you have two and then, okay, well, I can at least finish the row.
It's unbelievable.
It is. I've wiped out some full boxes of those in not much time.
Todd McShay has come out with a mock draft looking ahead to the draft coming up here in the NFL. And we've read some mock drafts before. Mel Kiper came out with his last week. Had Gregory Rousseau from Miami being the selection for the Tennessee Titans at number 22 overall. Todd McShay yesterday having Azeez Ojulari from Georgia being the 22 overall pick for the Tennessee Titans. Great player at Georgia, obviously really effective in the SEC. And here's what McShay has to say in his little bio underneath the pick. Tennessee had 13 sacks through 15 games before getting 4 in a Week 17 matchup with a dreadful Texans line. Don't let the 5 sacks in the AFC wildcard playoffs fool you either. Edge rushing is by far the biggest problem for the Titans, especially after the one-year deals for Clowney and Beasley didn't work out. Ojulari is certainly a start after the Titans suffered a net decline of 24 sacks from 2019 to 2020. I love his first step quickness and the dip and rip move coming around the corner. What do you think about maybe Ojulari being the pick that the Titans go for?
Yeah. So today, I'm writing a piece about Jalen Phillips because our Dane Brugler has a mock draft that has them taking him. You just mentioned Kiper had Rousseau, right?
Yep.
That's his latest. So Kiper has Rousseau. Brugler has Jalen Phillips. McShay has Ojulari. I expect to see a mock draft with every single possible edge guy going to the Titans at some point. And I think that'll actually happen. So who else would that be? You would also have Quiddy Pay,
yep.
A Michigan man right there, who I think is interesting. Who else would be in that mix there?
And by the way,
those are probably your top four.
McShay actually has Rousseau going 16 overall to Arizona. So if you're wondering why McShay doesn't have him going to the Titans, it's because he's got him going earlier to the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, that's the same thing with Brugler's latest. He's got Rousseau 14 to the Vikings. He's got Ojulari 16 to the Cards. Another guy you could have in that mix, you could have Jason Owe from Penn State. That Brugler has him in the first round. So there's five.
Zaven Collins from Tulsa.
Well, see, yep. So Zaven Collins, and that was actually Brugler's, one of his mocks had him. Now, he's not an edge guy per se. He's a really interesting player. You know, he's one of those guys who made all kinds of plays for Tulsa, you know, pick sixes and everything. He could potentially be an edge player, but he also could be, I think, you know, he could be an inside guy too. I don't know. I think you're probably needing like edge, yeah, pass rush, you know, pass rush moves focused on that, but that he is an interesting player.
Maybe the most interesting part of McShay's mock draft is the top four all being quarterbacks. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. He's got Zach Wilson from BYU being number two overall to the Jets. Then he's got Carolina moving up the board and trading with Miami to take Trey Lance from North Dakota State at number three, and Justin Fields going at number four to the Atlanta Falcons. So McShay has a trade in the top four and also has each of the four picks being quarterbacks. That to me was very interesting. Can you really see a scenario? I mean, I guess you could see the scenario, but do you think Justin Fields is the fourth quarterback off the board in the first round?
I mean, it's okay, so wait. You had, this is McShay has, you said Carolina?
Yeah, Carolina moving up to third.
Well, so Brugler has Carolina doing the same thing. Moving up to third, given the Dolphins, like, you know, number eight and then a few other picks, but he's got them taking Fields. So, and then the Falcons actually not going quarterback, going with Sewell, the tackle from Oregon, who's probably the top non-QB yeah, on the board here. So, now, I tell you what, to your question there, I understand Zach Wilson. He's a fun player to watch. He could be really good. I don't know as much about Trey Lance. We've talked about him all year. It seems crazy to me that Justin Fields would be the fourth QB taken. I understand he's not all the way there yet. He's not, you know, as polished as some quarterbacks coming in, but my goodness, I think the upside with him is massive.
McShay's also got the Bears making a trade with the 49ers for number 12 overall, and Mac Jones going at number 12. So a top 15 for Mac Jones.
Mac Jones ending up with the Bears?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so he's way down this list for Brugler. Saints at 28. Think about that. I just saw Damian Woody.
Quarterback room of Mac Jones, Jameis Winston, and Taysom Hill.
Yeah, Taysom Hill, go to the tight end room. If I have to lose in fantasy because you are a tight end, then you don't get to be in the QB room. But, you know, Titans Media League champion, regardless. Mac Jones is really interesting. And I know we work with someone who would, he'd go number one overall. But Damian Woody was making the case on ESPN this morning that he believes that's Belichick's target.
Mac Jones?
Now, does, maybe he has inside information. I don't know. But, yes, that he thinks the quarterback of the future in New England is Mac Jones.
He was really good this year. What kind of an NFL quarterback is he going to be? I think that's an interesting question. But he was really good. I mean, the accuracy he has throwing the ball down the field is pretty incredible. Now, it also helps when Devontae Smith is wide open by 6 yards, but his accuracy is pretty incredible.
Yeah, he's a tough one. He's just a tough one to evaluate because I've seen Greg McElroy look good at quarterback for, you know, and
in fairness, nowhere near that good. But yes, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, no, not that good, but awfully good. But, you know, he's throwing to Julio Jones, and he's handed to Trent Richardson, and on and on and on, and Ingram. I mean, but then it doesn't mean that Mac Jones isn't good enough. I mean, that gets counted against him, but it doesn't mean that he's, like, for example, you know, I think, and I'm losing the freaking quarterback's name, and I just muted myself in the middle of that sentence.
Kyle Trask.
Kyle Trask, thank you. You know, we had Orlovsky on, and I was a little surprised when he talked about this, but it makes sense. He's like, look, Kyle Trask maybe is doing more with less, but also he's got an offense and a head coach / QB coach who schemes up stuff for him.
Right.
And Mac Jones is actually more impressive as a pro prospect if you look at the throws he makes and what he does. I mean, he has made – if you watch that team, yes, he's got all those weapons. And this is why, to me, he wasn't the Heisman winner. He also made some tight window throws that are awfully good. He's accurate.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for tonight's Preds game against the Detroit Red Wings. If you get it right, you will win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Turnaround shot and the score!
Who's going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it's that time of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators taking on the Detroit Red Wings tonight at home at Bridgestone Arena, trying to snap a skid, losing five of their past six games. And now our listener today will be Kyle in Nashville. Kyle will have an opportunity to select his goal scorer. So without further ado, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kyle from Nashville. Kyle, how are we doing? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good, good. It's a little wet outside, but other than that, it's good.
It's a little wet. Hope everybody is being careful out there. Obviously, a little bit slick on the roadways today, so make sure you're paying attention. Going slow out there. All right, Kyle, Preds taking on the Red Wings tonight. Your Preds pick to click. Your goal scorer for tonight's game is who?
It's going to be Philip Forsberg. He hasn't scored in a couple of games. And he's playing Thomas Greiss tonight, so I got to go with the safe bet.
So you're feeling like Philip Forsberg is due. A little bit quiet this week from Forsberg offensively. You feel like he's due tonight against Detroit?
Yes. For sure.
All right.
With the team on his back.
Kyle has selected Philip Forsberg. Kyle, good luck in the competition. Philip Forsberg becoming quite the popular pick this week, Joe Rexroth.
He is. And when he was on a tear, the fact that he was not always picked by the four people picking.
They're making up for that this
Some
week.
Some serious regrets.
So Kyle going with Philip Forsberg in the competition. Joe Rexroth, today we'll start with you because we have not started with you yet this week. Your Preds pick to click for tonight's game is who?
I think I've had, a couple games now without getting it right, which is a big drop for me.
Tell
me
about dry spell.
Yeah. What is it, 4-1-0?
4-1-0.
Right, still.
The listeners have three.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes, 4-3-1-0. Right. Of course,
I'm firmly in last place.
Yeah, I want to make it clear that I have the one and Robbie has the zero.
Thank you.
So,
bring me an avocado tequila, please. That really got Rex Road.
I have to take a break. So do I keep trying to go deep cuts here to let you guys have a shot, or do I just go with the obvious? You know,
go with what you think's going to win. This is a competition, Rex Road.
Okay, I'm gonna repeat a pick.
Okay,
because I made the pick, and that's really why I asked John Hines earlier about Elie Tolvanen, because he screwed up my pick to click by me with Elie Tolvanen not playing. So I'll go Elie Tolvanen again. I'm gonna pick Elie Tolvanen until he scores.
I can't wait until he doesn't play tonight. It's gonna be awesome. Elie Tolvanen.
He said he's playing tonight, right?
He said this week.
This week.
He didn't say tonight. He said this week.
He's got to be in the lineup tonight, right?
You would think.
Can I get a backup if he's not?
No.
Fine. Whatever.
What kind of competition do you think we got here?
That's fine. Give me Tolvanen.
All right, Elie Tolvanen off the board. Philip Forsberg selected by Kyle. Ryan Porth, your Preds pick to click for tonight's game is who?
I'm going deep cut here.
Okay.
He got a goal robbed from him the other night. I'm going to pick Colton Sissons.
Well, I don't know how robbed
he is. The number one center. Well, he scored.
He
and
was
got
2 feet offside.
Away.
But yeah.
He was offside. I'm not saying it.
He got
was
robbed
the wrong
by himself.
Call. Yes. I'm going to say he gets revenge on himself.
Okay.
Tonight and scores.
Ryan Porth going with Colton Sissons, Joe Rexroth, Elie Tolvanen, Kyle with Philip Forsberg. Give me Victor Arvidsson. I've talked all show long about how 2 goals in 13 games is unacceptable. At some point, he's got to break out of it. I think that's tonight. Give me Victor Arvidsson against Detroit.
If he scores, you take credit for it?
No.
May as well.
I mean, why? I haven't gotten one right all season long, so it's more of a lucky break at this point.
I'm still taking credit for Matt Duchene, so
okay.
It's fine.
There you go.
I forgot to give him an opportunity to thank me yesterday, by the way.
Well, I don't know if... I don't know right now's the time.
Yeah. Or thank Adam Vingan. He also took credit for it.
So that is today's edition of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Joe Rexroth with Elie Tolvanen. Ryan Porth, Colton Sissons, myself, Victor Arvidsson, and our listener today, Kyle in Nashville, taking Philip Forsberg. Good luck in this competition.
Good luck, guys.
Maybe we'll have multiple winners tonight. This is a game where if you're the Predators, you've got to take advantage offensively. Like, this needs to be a game where you convert. The Red Wings are awful.
Yeah, we should all be right tonight.
Wow.
I wonder if that'll all of us. I wonder if that'll happen.
Where
year.
We get a game.
There's
got to
be, like,
us?
If that happens, like, we should all, I don't know.
Bonus
like,
points?
Go to the T-Bell drive through or something, like, you know.
Go on a boat in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady?
Yeah, maybe so.
There you go.
I mean, the Red Wings are 3-9-2 on the season. They're horrible.
The dead things.
But Predators' offense has struggled mightily the last few games, really all season long, outside of a couple of stretches. So this feels like it should be some get-right opportunities for the Predators against Detroit, but you can't approach it that way if you're this team. This is a team that they're going to have to work for everything they get. And if they come away tonight against this team, and we're talking about a one-goal performance in the morning or even a two-goal performance in the morning, to me, I mean, you got to be really concerned if you're a Predators fan at that point. This is a team you need to put up some goals against.
Yeah.
I realize your lineup's not at full strength right now, but you got to find ways to finish.
More important, yeah, no doubt. More importantly, you got to get 2 points.
Yes.
As a team. You know, so if you win 1-0, you know, you can find a positive in that. Pecorino going to be starting in goal tonight?
That would be my guess. I think, look, it's based on the way they've been playing lately, I don't think it's particularly close. I think Rene's far and away the better goalie right now.
Are you going to get both of these games? I mean, I know that I'm asking that question before we see how he performs tonight.
Right. I would. I think based on the way they've played lately, I would give Pekka the next 2 games really no questions asked. I mean, unless it's just awful tonight, and then maybe you rethink it. But I think I'm going Pekka the next couple of games regardless.
So what do you think is going on with Saros?
Well, I mean, a lot of it, as Adam Vingan mentioned yesterday, has come on the penalty kill. That's been a problem. And a lot of that's what's going on in front of him, but he's not making the saves that bail his team out. I think Pekka is making those saves right now. And that to me is the difference. So, I mean, what are the numbers of Saros' his last 4 games? I mean, he's in the 840s in save percentage, right?
Last 6 games, last 6 games, save percentage of 843.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to get it done. So, look, there's more factors to it than just Saros isn't playing well. But he's got to help you out every now and then and bail you out of some of these situations, and he's not doing that. And there are a few in this stretch that I think he'd want back. And so I think, quite frankly, the goaltender competition right now, as we know, it can change. But right now, it's not particularly close, in my opinion.
I also wonder if the league is starting to figure him out a little bit, because when you look at his year-by-year statistics, the peripheral numbers, save percentage and goals against average, keep going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So I just wonder that. I'm not saying that's happening.
Well,
but
it's no secret what the book is on him. He's not a tall goalie. He doesn't take up a lot of the net. You try to go high on him. I mean, you try to elevate your shot on every goaltender, but I think it's even more of a point of emphasis when you're going up against a guy like Saros, where there's obvious weaknesses to the exposure level that you have above the shoulders with him. I mean, there's a lot of net to shoot at there. And he makes up for a lot of it with his athleticism. That's how he's gotten to this point. But his lack of size is a factor in this discussion, I think.
Yeah, and it's obviously so noticeable when you compare him to, you know, to Pecorine. It's just
sure.
You know, clearly. I will say I did not expect it to go this way this year, you know, after the way last year ended. Even though Saros wasn't great in the bubble, if you would have told me, you know, if you would have made me predict going the year, like, will this ever flip-flop, I would have said, no, I think it'll be, you know, Saros will get a lot more starts. And it has flip-flopped.
And then got some bad news on the show earlier from Predators head coach John Hines, who joined us earlier in the show. Matthias Ekholm will not play tonight for the Nashville Predators, and John Hines says he is considered week-to-week at this point. So, Joe, obviously, that is a big loss for the Predators, and anytime you hear week-to-week, that's not good, especially in a season like this.
Yeah, this team cannot afford to have week-to-weeks applied to its number one center and, you know, what, number three defenseman, but a
very good defenseman.
Guy who's not a number three defenseman on most teams. Very important player. So that's rough.
Well, even looking at the schedule right now, too, with Ryan Johansson, Matthias Ekholm out, Like, this is a very compact schedule. Yep. Last week, this week, next week, with like four games in 6 days each week, it seems like. Like this isn't week to week. Later in the season when the schedule spreads out a little bit.
Right. If you're week to week, you're missing potentially a ton of games coming up here.
Yeah. Not good.
Not good at all. And to help us talk a little bit more about the game tonight against Detroit, Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender Chris Mason will join us to begin the next hour. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.